today. I'd like to welcome everybody out there on the internet who is joining with us today, and I pray that today's Thanksgiving sermon will truly be a blessing to your heart, because when we think of the things that God has brought into our lives, that God has allowed into our lives and gotten us through, we can speak thanksgiving. Amen? Because God has done good things for us, even in a world that's not so good around us. God cares for us, and God gives us strength, and God gives us hope. And my sermon today is entitled, Your Thanksgiving Can Be the Door to Others' Salvation. How many of you have ever thought about your thanksgiving being the door of someone else's salvation? That is God's truth. And today I'm going to show you where that comes from, because as we understand thanksgiving and we understand that thanksgiving is what? It's literally praise and it's worship. And as a pastor, one of the things that I deal with is people were like, well, I don't know what to say to somebody. If, you know, how can I witness to somebody? You know, I'm not a theologian. Well, yeah, okay. Neither were 90% of the people who were in the Bible. They weren't theologians. They were men and women just like you and I. You know, very few theologians are in the Bible, but yet the Bible's full of theology because God used simple men and women to bring the principles of who He is. And God's going to use you in the simplicity of your life if you allow Him to literally make a difference to somebody else just by the way you live your life around them. And let your thanksgivings be a praise unto Him and the opening of a door for someone else who's going through a hardship. Yeah.
They're gray. Take them as you leave.
Yes. Yeah. The little Bible's out there. Mitch just said, they're gray. Take them as you leave. Because you and I both know how God has spoken to our hearts. So let us open that little gray book. In some of our cases, mine's a maroon colored. And if you would, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, as is in your bulletin there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we are going to be in verses 14 through 20 on this wonderful day of the Lord. And these scriptures are truly a blessing to us here in Thanksgiving. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that when Paul is writing these words to the Corinthians church, he's not talking about Thanksgiving, okay? So pastor's going to take a little bit of levity with the word, and I'm going to explain that because you should never take the word of God out of context, correct? You never take the word of God out of context. So I want to show you how this fits because I don't want anybody to accuse me of bad theology. But it's amazing how this truly works, and I'll explain it. From verse 14, we read these words from the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church. He says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen and amen. When I look at this word and I think about that reconciliation that God has brought into our lives, this is how I get thanksgiving in this sentence. How many of us are thankful that God has reconciled us back to the heart of God? Amen. Okay? Amen. You and I have something to give thanks for. And God says here in his word that we are now ambassadors in Christ, that we are bringing that message of reconciliation to the world. So many times in our lives, we need to understand that this is a love relationship, right? How many of you are thankful for the love relationships that you have? How many of you speak about those love relationships that you have? You know, I think it's funny because, you know, when you talk to somebody, they are almost always going to speak of their love relationships, okay? You ladies, when you all get together, I know you all talk about your husbands. Good, bad, or indifferent, you talk about your husbands. And the men never talk about their wives. I just winked at one of the other guys. We do, because that love relationship is very important. It's at the core of our being. I can remember, you know, when my wife and I first got married. I mean, this is funny. It's the oldest photo and one of the only photos I carry in my wallet. I think I carry 3 photos. See that? Can you see that back there? Probably not. It's my wedding picture. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Now, it's a little tattered, but so are we. Look, honey, we had color in our hair back then. But I carry this always. There's 3 pictures in here. There's 3 pictures in here. My wedding, my son and my daughter. And I think there's one more. Oh, yes. My mom. 4 pictures. Carry 4 pictures. 2 of them, Russell gets 2, because when Noel was added, I had to give him another one. Those are the loves of my life. I speak about them often. But every time I speak about them, I find myself using the correlation of them with the love of God. Because God has been in every one of those relationships. God has brought me into every one of those relationships. Starting from my birth, coming from the love of my parents to one another, to the overflowing of creating me. And then it went to my finding my spouse, and then the bringing of our son into this world. Now we have 5 other children, and they are in heaven already. We lost them at birth or pre-birth. And I have an awesome reunion coming in store for me. But what am I doing right now? I'm speaking thanksgivings to you. For these are the things that I am thankful for. These are the things that God has brought me into and through. And they're the things that I want to share with you because God's love compels us. Isn't that what the very first line here says? For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all died. So when we look at that and it says, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died, that all have died. When we think about what the love of God has done for us, there's only one thing we can do with the love of reality, and that is to share it with other people. And God has walked into that great love. When we think about our relationships, where we are as people, we can conclude only one thing. We have those relationships because God died for us. God gave us those relationships, okay? Whether it's a child, whether it's a parent, whether it's a spouse, whether it's friends out there in the community, God gave you those relationships, and God died for those relationships. Because God wants us to do something in those relationships. Because we have the message of reconciliation. What is the message of reconciliation? Well, we all know it as John 3:16, don't we? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Amen? We know that. We've accepted that. We walk in that. But how do I express that to somebody else? How do I get that message out there? Because, you know, I can say that, but then how do I back it up? Folks, you don't have to worry about how to back it up. Just tell them who you are. Tell them how God has worked in your life. That's the message of reconciliation. What message has God given you? Marion, how many things in this world has God gotten you through?
Many.
Do you have to think about them? You know them, don't you? So you don't have to wonder, what theological penundrance can I get out here? Right? You like that word, penundrance? I don't even know what that means. You don't think it's a word? Probably isn't, but it sounded good, didn't it? But here's the reality. Mitch, how many things has God brought you through?
Many.
Do you have to think about them?
No.
They're right there, aren't they? Yeah, yeah. Dennis, how many things has God brought you through?
Lots.
Do you have to think about them? No. No. Let's go with somebody a little younger. Justin, how many things has God brought you through?
Oh, many.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have to think about them? You don't have senior moments yet? Isn't it amazing? Natalie, how many things has God brought you through?
A lot.
Yeah, and look how young she is. Do you have to think about them?
No.
But how many of us think, oh, well, I got to know this Bible. Oh, my goodness, I got to know this. Oh, my, did you ever see how many pages are in this thing? That's not the truth. All you have to know is the God that knows you. And share that with our world. You see, the message of reconciliation that God has given to you is your message. I don't know Mitch's message, but I know the bottom line. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. That's the bottom line of Mitch's message, because it's the bottom line of my message, because it's the first line that we read. That we know that one died for all, therefore all have died. He paid our price. We have already paid the first death through Christ. Okay? Now there is in store for us eternal life. We don't have to worry about, I should say, he paid the second death. The first death is physical death. The second death is spiritual death. Jesus paid that price for us. We don't have to pay that one. But we need to take this message out, and we need to recognize that we need to do what it says here in verse 16. It says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. What does that mean to you? How many of you have people in your life that you just don't like because they rub you the wrong way? I got people raising their hands, being bluntly honest, and others laughing because they're like, oh my gosh, he's talking about me again, or he's talking to me again. And I'm not talking to you or about you. God is talking to you because God is here, amen? And this is his word, amen? And if we walk in this word, we have got to understand we are not to work according to this flesh. We are not to recognize people from this flesh. In other words, we need to see them through the eyes of Christ that is in us. from the hope of the Holy Spirit that he's given us, because he has forgiven us all things. God holds nothing against you anymore. God has given you everything to get to heaven. He has given you the truth. He has given you the way. He has given you the life. And his name is Jesus Christ. We have something to be thankful for Thanksgiving. And I pray that each and every one of us here can realize that, life is filled with those thanksgivings, even in the passing of someone. Now, I'm going to tell you a truth many of you don't know. And I'm only saying this because the gentleman here needs our prayers, and his family needs our prayers. A friend of our church, they're here today, father and son, lost dad and grandpa this morning at 7 o'clock. We need to pray for them, because grandpa and dad has received their glory for this day. That's the way it works. And we need to pray for those who are left. We need to pray for those who are here. We need to pray because I know this brother has started on his journey with Christ. Amen? Yep, I know it. But it's going to be a long road. We all know that, right? And it's not always easy, is it? But it's worth it. It's worth it because God has paved that road out in front of us to get us to the place that he wants us to be, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. So today, as we think of where we are, whether it's struggling with a job and school, whether it's dealing with little boys and pulling our hair out, man, just wait. They're going to turn white. Look at us. You know, and we only had one. You got two. But it's amazing because you're going to love every minute of it. And you're going to hate every minute of it. That's the dynamic of it. It's a love-hate relationship. But it's worth every moment you invest in it. Because that's two lives. Two little ones that God loves more than you love. There are lives out there that we don't know yet because they have not been introduced to us. But are we willing and are we ready to take our Thanksgiving out into this world and give it away? You know, we celebrate Thanksgiving once a year. Once a year, we take a day as a nation. Now, I know as Christians, we do it far more often than that, because actually every Sunday is a Thanksgiving if you think about it. But once a year as a nation, we get together and we give thanks. I think to myself, what do people in agnostic families give thanks for? And who do they give it to? Each other, I guess. I don't know. But there's somebody far bigger than me, because I'll guarantee you I don't deserve thanks. If anything, I deserve condemnation. And that's what I understand from this scripture, that, you know, I deserve the death that God gave me. And he's given me something so much greater that I can literally go out and talk to other people and say, yeah, I'm a sinner saved by grace. How many of you in this room are perfect? I didn't think so. How many people out there in the world think they are perfect? Only to realize that they're not. And that's the despair that they find themselves in. Is there any reason our world is the way it is? It's because they're told one thing, that we're perfect and everything's okay and it doesn't matter. But yet inside there's this moral battle going on, isn't it? Where's that come from? That comes from the fact that we were created in the image of God. Did you just hear that? And it's that created entity, it is that former thing that is fighting with what is here now, because we are procreated in the image of Adam. And we are fighting back and forth constantly in our flesh until the day the Holy Spirit comes along and he sets us free once we receive Christ. And we now have that reconciliation. You know how God has saved you. You know the things he has brought you through. You know the strength that he has given you. That's what you need to share with all the people in your life. Because that's a theology that nobody needs to teach you, isn't it? You know where God has brought you from. You know what he is bringing you to. And you know you need to share that with people who aren't in Christ either. Because they need to see your struggle, to know that you're real. Because how many times are we considered fake? How many times, you know, does the world look at Christians and say, oh, look, they screwed up again. My reality is, yeah, I screw up all the time. I'm no better than anybody else. The only difference is I've trusted Christ. And he's making a difference in me. He is helping me become who I need to be. He is helping me to walk with less sin in my life because there's a lot of things I don't do that I used to do, but I still could if I wanted to. Guess what? I don't want to anymore because that's the difference he makes in us. That difference is the difference of reconciliation and condemnation. In condemnation, Satan wants us to keep under sin so we stay in shame and guilt. In reconciliation, the shame and guilt are taken away by the love of God on the cross of Calvary. And that's what we need to share. That's a truth nobody can take away from us. And as we share that truth, we come to the greater understanding that no matter what somebody else has done, no matter what they have done, you know, I had a conversation, you know, with a gentleman one day, and he said to me, you know, if you could go into a prison and preach to a gentleman who was a mass murderer, and they would be converted and come to Christ, would that make you feel good? I said, well, yeah. He said, well, what about all the families of the people that they killed? I said, I can't deal with that. I said, they have to deal with that. Well, that's just not right. And then I shared with them the story that I've shared with you, my church, before about a friend of mine that I worked with. He was in the fire department. A gentleman's house was on fire, and he went. He was the first responder there. And when he got there, the police were already there. And this fire had broken out in the course of an arrest because they were literally there to arrest the gentleman because my friend's wife and child were in an automobile accident hit by a drunk driver who escaped the scene. Guess who the drunk driver was? The man in the house that was burning. My friend could have just left him burn. He put his gear on. He was told. That's the police officer knew him. He was told. The reason we're here is now the house is on fire because he resisted arrest. My friend put on his garb, went into a burning house, and saved the very life of the man who had taken his wife and child. That's the message of reconciliation in real time, in real life. Now, did that young man that was in that fire, you know, the gentleman who killed my friend's wife and son, did he accept Christ? I don't know. I don't know the rest of the story. I'm hoping one day to see it worked out in heaven, that he would be there. But I know this, my friend was a Christian. And that was his whole intent. Can you imagine how his heart wrangled with that, knowing what was going on? But yet, he put on his garb and went into that fire. You and I need to remember that's exactly what Christ did when he went on the cross of Calvary. He saw who we were. He knew we were the ones who put him on the cross, but yet he crawled up on that cross on his own. Nobody forced him to go to that cross. We need to remember that is the message of reconciliation. God willingly went on the cross. He could have called 10,000 legions of angels, ended everything, and started all over again. Instead, because of his love for us, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, for the joy that set before him in the reconciliation of all of us who would receive him, of all of us who would call upon his name, wantingly and willingly. And that's what our Thanksgiving is all about. That's the message of reconciliation you need to take out. How many of you, I can remember, and this is a long time ago, I can remember we used to go up to my great-grandparents' house for Thanksgiving. And great-grandpa, we called him Pawpaw, Pawpaw would sit at the head of the table, and he would start. And he would say, today we're going to share our Thanksgivings. And he would start, and he would say something that he was thankful for. And we would go around the table. And when we went around the table, oh my Lord, it would take an hour because there would be 40 of us in their house. And we're sitting there and we're waiting. Everybody's giving their Thanksgiving. Everybody's giving their Thanksgiving. I've never seen so much petting and do you know what I mean by that? You know, making grandma feel good about herself and making Aunt Sally feel good. You know, well, I'm going to say something nice because I want so-and-so to feel good. Oh, I'm going to say something nice because I want so-and-so to feel good. That's not what Pawpaw wanted to hear. And he always started off. He always started off. I'm thankful for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how he always said, every year, I am thankful for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who died on the cross to save me. And then he would say other things about life and his grandkids or great-grandkids. We always reminded them that, you know, he would say grandkids and we would say great-grandkids because we wanted him to remember he was old. No, we wanted him to know that's how much God has placed upon him, because your children and their children and their children are a blessing unto you. And we wanted him to know, no, God has allowed you to see to the third generation. The truth of the matter is, he actually got to see to the fourth generation, five living generations till he died. That's a blessing. We need to share those things. That's what Thanksgiving needs to be. So when you sit down at your Thanksgiving table this year, I pray that you will ask that question to share something you're thankful for. But then you'll get real. Don't stroke each other's egos. No petting. Get real. What are you thankful for? And you know, sometimes they're the hard things of life. And they need to be. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it's some of the hardest things that you have ever gone through that have made you who you are. I want you to think about that. Each and every one of you here right now, why are you here? It wasn't because life was easy. You are here because life was hard and God met you where you needed to be met. That's your Thanksgiving. And that's what the world needs to know. Not the nice sugar candy coated stuff. The world wants to know the real stuff. Because if you're willing to share with the world the real stuff, you can open the door to someone else's life who's hurting. You just said it, Mitch. The young man looked at the other man and said, how could you put your arm around him? They were filthy. Do you think Jesus doesn't put his arms around our filth? You better believe he does. And we need to be as willing to get into the muck and the mire as Christ was to get into ours. That means holding nothing back. You know, Wendell, the other week, he said this, and I love it, and I'm going to use it from now until the Lord calls me home. We are a full contact church. Do you know what that means? What's full contact, guys? What's full contact? Hugs. Okay. When you're thinking about sports, what's full contact football? Tackle. Man, you're in there piling up on each other. That's what God wants out of a church. He wants the hugs. He wants us getting real with one another, that we are involved in the nitty and the gritty and the muddy and the bloody. Full contact. What was that, Mitch? Streets. Yeah. Man, I'm telling you right now, when we were out there walking, doing our prayer walks, do you know how many people were floored that I wanted to pray with them in their yard? You're going to pray now? Yeah, right now. Let's bow our heads. And I pray with a gentleman sitting on his lawnmower. Nobody's ever prayed for me like this. Well, it's about time then, isn't it? How many times you get somebody show up at your door and they want to sell you something? I think it's wonderful. The one gentleman had a sign up, no solicitors. I said, we're not selling anything. We've got something to give you. He just looked at me, and I handed him a Bible. I said, this is for you. I said, it's a gift from our church. We just want to let you know we're in the neighborhood, and we want to pray for you. Oh, well, thank you. What can we pray for? Oh, well, nothing. Things are great. Oh, hey, that's fine. Well, we can pray about that. And I prayed with him that everything was great. I knew it wasn't. So did he. But when we were done, he said, you were serious. I said, yes. And then I got his prayer request. We need to understand, if we're willing to get real with God, with God's people, we will open the doors. Because folks need to know that we're real, that we are genuine. Too often the church has been fake. Too often the church... I want you to think about this. Paul was speaking to the people in Corinth. He was speaking to the church. Folks, nothing has changed. God is still speaking to the church because we're still broken. And we need to take this message out and give it to people. You are that message. Nobody can copy your message of reconciliation. Nobody. And nobody can take it away because you know it by heart. The only question I need to ask you is, are you willing to open your door to help somebody else open theirs? Open the door of your heart. Share that message of reconciliation in thanksgiving. And folks, thanksgiving is what to God? It's an offering. Do you think God's going to despise it if it's done in truth? If it's done in spirit? Do you think God's going to reject it if it's done in love and in mercy and in compassion? It's the most acceptable thing that God could ever be pleased with. God said, I am sick of your offerings. I am sick of your new moon festivals. Remember that? God wants what's real from here. It's what He gave us. And when we're willing to give it, it will open the door to salvation for others as the door has been opened to us. My question is this: will you allow God to open somebody else's door through you? You have the message of reconciliation. Share it. Carry it. It is yours. And nobody can duplicate it, and nobody can take it away. Would you pray with me this day? Precious God, we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts, with prayer and praise, to give you honor, to give you glory, and to give you thanks. For you have set us free and given us the hope of the gospel, that we may take that message out as ambassadors, calling out to the people out there to know you love them and you are there to help them, to get them through as you have gotten us through. And we thank you, Lord, for the lives that you have already touched in this congregation. And we thank you, too, for the lives that you're going to touch through us as we become a thanksgiving offering unto you, that doors may be opened and lives may be saved. Father, as we go from this day, we pray for safety on the roads as it's snowing outside, and we pray, Lord, for the blessing of those who are hearing us on the internet, that they would understand and receive and know that even their word, their knowledge of you, is as important as what we've just spoken. For no one can take you away, but we need to share you with everyone. Because, Father, you shared yourself with us that we may know life and know it to the full. In Christ Jesus' name, we give you thanks, grace, and praise. And God's church said, amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.